Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter from Louisiana. If you're just, this is the first message that you're listening to, there's many sermons on this website. I encourage you to stroll down, find one or two, and listen to them. If you're not very familiar with my ministry God has laid on my heart. He has appointed me and commissioned me to be that voice crying out in the wilderness, and that wilderness is today's, especially America, the America modernized Christianity that has swept in our nation. It breaks my heart to see that. So you get opportunity, check out other sermons on this website. And tonight we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 18. We're going to read that, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into the message that God has laid on my heart to preach tonight. So Proverbs 23, verse 17 through 18 says this: "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord and all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, Wednesday night, midway through the week, Lord, I pray that we lay our hearts at your feet, that we be real with you if there's something in our life that's keeping us from walking that walk that you need us to walk. To walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. To feel the calling that you've put on each and every one of our lives. To go out there and to proclaim the gospel regardless how people may look at us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with Louisiana. Of course, we're still recovering from the hurricane. And Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters over in Florida. Sammy, Lord, keep him, Lord, and protect them and give them strength to endure if any damages are occur, Lord. We pray over the fires in California spreading, Lord, and the many people are losing their homes and their stuff. Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, give them strength to endure. Lord, tonight as we look at this, your word, as we go into the word, I pray, Lord, let your voice speak. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me to reach whoever out there that needs to hear the gospel, the true gospel, not this modern day Christianity, lukewarm gospel that is spread like a virus that has infected our core of America. And now we're so infected, Lord. I pray, Lord, let's rise. I pray, Lord, that you raise up people that are going to proclaim the gospel and that will stand for the truth regardless of the cost. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. You know, it's easy to look at this world and ask yourself, why is evil prospering or appearing to prosper, right? You see the Who Heifers of the world and the Bill Gates of the world and all the Hollywood stars of the world with their big houses, cars, boats, and private jets. The list goes on and on. Even those who are preaching another gospel like Joel Osteen and the world and the Benny Hinn's, and the list goes on, the John Hagee's of the world making money off proclaiming a gospel that's different than what is in the Word of God. If they hear this message, which to me they would just dismiss me as a crazy person. But I would want them to challenge me word for word in the Bible what they're proclaiming. And does it match up with what Jesus tells us? You know, if you're like me, you're barely getting by paycheck to paycheck. You pray that your car or your truck or whatever vehicle you have, you know, makes it through the year and you're able to save a little money back for retirement. If you're lucky, right? I want to say lucky if you're blessed. And you may be living a life that's holy. You may be living a life that is pleasing to God, and you feel like you're not getting a good deal, right? That's lies from the enemy. But in this proverb, it tells us, not let your, my, our heart envy these sinners. Instead, our envy, let it turn to fear of the Lord. This fears me a holy, revering, a praise to our holy Lord. And as the proverbs continue, for sure there is an end, and your and my expectations shall not be cut off. You see, brothers and sisters, as a child of God, we have an inheritance that will blow away any riches, any wealth that one can gain in this world. These riches will not fade, but they will last forever and ever. That's the good news, right? But I want to first speak on salvation, because we can look at this and you're like, oh, that's so, I want that. But do you understand what salvation is? Do you understand the whole truth of what salvation is? Not this partial piece that the modern day Christianity televangelists are speaking on. And I'm going to use the straight from the Word of God. And my prayer is that somebody out there hears this and they realize these guys are not telling them the truth. So when we're looking at salvation, I like to start out, of course, with John 3:16-17. It's the most popular, probably most memorized verse, at least that first verse is, right? It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You know, this world was once a perfect design. You know, our bodies were created to live forever. I was reading a book and a quote from a medical doctor who was looking at our DNA genes and the pattern. And he said there was, our genes, they're designed to regenerate and not die. And he said the design was for us to live forever, but something went wrong. I want to tell you what went wrong was the fall of man, what we call the fall of man. And you can see that if you start in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, or the King James, or our Bible today, is Genesis chapter 1-3. You can see that God created a beautiful and perfect world. He created a garden. And within this, there was no plagues. There was no coronavirus. There was no flu. There was no extreme heat or cold. It was just right. And all the animals, they did not kill each other. They were not meat eaters. They were plant eaters. I don't know if I've used this illustration quite a few times. And just bear with me. You know, I love watching documentaries on animals. And there's one called the Prey, the Predator kind of interaction. It's called The Hunt. And it talks about these animals that are hunting in their environment, in their, you know, you have the prey, you have the predator, and the predator is hunting that prey. And I'll tell you, when the predator is in right position, that prey doesn't know what's going on. I'll tell you, they're meat eaters. That's the fall, guys. That's the curse. You see, God created Adam and Eve, and they got to lie in this paradise. They want for nothing. Could you imagine just not wanting for nothing? No pain, no suffering, no bills, no mortgage, no car payments. It was a paradise. And within that paradise, God gave them just one thing, a command not to do, was to eat of a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And our enemy, Satan, seen this, And he caught Eve on a particular day. He was able to deceive her to eat the fruit. And then Adam. And that's just when the sin entered into this world. That's when the curse entered into this world. That's why we have all these plagues and these natural disasters, these hurricanes, these fires. And I believe the fires in California, I was reading, they think that might have been from arsonists. I don't know, but there was no fire burning stuff. You didn't have that hate. If that was that hate and that anger, if that was due to anger and hate and whatever that was, evil, to set those areas on fire. They didn't have that. You didn't have those emotions. In Romans 5, verse 12 says this, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. So we have the pain, and we have the sorrow, and we have the hate, and we have the anger. Sin runs rampant in this world, and this is why God sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he took our sins on him, our past, present, right now, our future sins. It's through the blood that was shed on the cross that we can come to him right where we are and lay our hearts at his feet and our eyes on his beautiful grace and mercy. If you continue in Romans 5 and we go over to verse 13 and read to 15, it says, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who's the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so is the, here's this word, free gift. For if through the offense one many be dead, but much the grace of God. And there's that gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded to many. You see, Jesus had to take on that cross. And you see that word grace and mercy, and these terms might be kind of foreign to you. You may have never heard these terms, but grace, simply put, you'll hear it called unmerited favor. I like to say, Jesus gives us good things that we do not deserve. We do not deserve grace. And of course, his compassion with us is mercy. Mercy spares us from the bad things we deserve. You see, we deserve the cross. We deserve to go to a devil hell. But Jesus tells us, I paid with my blood. So you do not have to go to hell. I paid it. You can come right where you are right now. And of course, if you look at the Old Testament, you'll see the sacrifices that were done. And that was because they all pointed to Jesus Christ. Death. You see that word death a lot. And you'll see that when you look at Genesis chapter 1 through 3, when Jesus tells them, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. You see, that tree represents death. It was a physical death. See, they were going to live forever. But on top of that physical death was also a spiritual death. And that spiritual death is very important, guys. See, most of us, if Jesus doesn't come back for us, or we live to see that day, we will die physical death. You know, scripture tells us, man pointed to death, then the judgment, right? That death, that physical death, and then judgment. And we hear that second death, which is a spiritual death. You see, what happened at the cross is a beginning of realizing what happened. And that there is now a physical death on this earth that we may have to experience. But there, after that physical death, there will be a spiritual death if you're not a child of God. And you will see that when you look at John 3:16-17, when that last part there says, have everlasting life, meaning you believe in him, not perish. Not perish meaning you will not have to experience that spiritual death, but a spiritual life, everlasting. You see, when you start looking at the cross and the horrible things that Jesus had to go through, I don't know if you're like me, every time I have to talk about it, my heart breaks. Because why would you die for a sinner like me? Why would you die for somebody that is just filthy inside? You love me that much, God. You see, the cross is just one part of salvation. We know that he didn't stay on the cross. They took him down. He was fully dead. And we know, we can read into it where he was in the... They placed him in a tomb for 3 days, and he rose, fully restored, and seen by many. You kind of want to see the gospel in a nutshell. Paul puts it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, it says, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. This is what Paul preached, and it hasn't changed. We still preach this today, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye have saved, you are saved. If you keep in memory, I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. Verse 4, For I deliver unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That is the crucifixion. According to the scriptures, you can look and do a study and see how many scriptures point to that. And then the resurrection, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles, all the apostles. And that verse 8 here, and last of all, he was seen of me also. That's Paul, as of one born out of due time. Crucifixion, resurrection, right, guys? And I'm going to go to a very popular passage here that you probably, if you attended any kind of evangelistic circle or outreach, you'll hear this. But the problem is, they skip, and I've been to quite a few of these conferences and listened to, and they will leave these things out, and nobody calls them on it, and it's like they have security guards, so you can't go up there and talk to them. So they, Romans 10:9-13 says, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scriptures say, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are beautiful passages. Don't get me wrong, guys. I love it. I love it. But I want to look at key words in the scriptures. They are bypassed a lot of times. You'll see a lot of televangelists or others kind of bypass these words because they're not very, I guess, crowd friendly. When you look at verse 10, you see Paul speaks of righteousness. For the heart man believe unto righteousness. What is this word righteousness, right? Should we expound on this? Yes. They'll say, oh, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I shall believe in thy heart that raised him from the dead, I save. And there it is, you're saved, just say the words. But what is righteousness? 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21 says this, verse 21, for he had made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be righteous of God in him. See, Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made righteous through the blood and the shedding of the blood. We'd be righteous to God in him. If you go take this a little bit farther, Ephesians, and these is all scriptures, guys. I encourage you to get in your Bible and look at these. Don't take my words for it. Just take these scriptures and study them. Study them. Memorize them. Let them, tattoo them on your heart and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24. Chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yeah. You won't hear that too many times. Righteousness and true holiness. At this point, you might want to stop the ball and say, hey, what are you trying to tell me? I got to live a life separate from this world. I mean, I cannot keep living in my sin and be okay. The Holy Spirit, guys. You cannot live as a true child of God in your own nature. It goes against the scripture, not my opinion, is the scripture. Some people want to try to argue with that. You're just arguing with God. Because he put there plainly. And you'll see him. Paul speaks of the old nature, the new nature. If you go John 3, you start reading verse 1 when, and then read down to about 14, you'll see Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and talking about being born again. Meaning your life changes. You see, when we say I do to Jesus, when we realize, okay, the righteousness of God, and now my life is his, my life should change. We speak of this as regeneration. You can see that in Titus 3. Verse 5. So when you believe, accept, and confess with your mouth and heart, and the Holy Spirit should come and live inside you. There's no exception to that. If your heart is truly not given to God, and you don't want to change who you are, you just made the evangelist numbers look good. But you have not been added to the kingdom of God. And you can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Paul's also saying, therefore if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. The old has passed away. And the new has come. And of course we're talking about the regeneration. The born again. Being your old life dies. You rise new. You experience. And because now that you are new, and that you're truly invested, and you say, I know, Jesus, I'm yours, and I know I'm going to be changed. I don't want to be part of this world. I want to give up everything that I used to be, to give my life solely up to you. I will not experience that spiritual death. You may have experienced that physical death one day, but not the spiritual death. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will put you on the path. Does that mean that we can just, you know, when we, you know, and this doesn't mean that we won't sin. This does not mean that we're still going to be in the flesh. Everyone, you know, we don't watch ourselves. We can get into the flesh. But the thing is, when we get in the flesh, this is thing called conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's also, you start feeling that chastisement. I know I've been there quite a few times. It's not pretty, but I'm stubborn. You know, when I was a child, you know, I want to do things my way. And I get my hand slapped, but I try it again and again and again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 says this, "For whom the Lord loved." And we can take that love, the same love he's referring to, John 3, 16 through 17. He loved, he chastened and scourged every son who is received. Do you understand what chastening is? Do you understand what scourging is? You see, if you look, I guess the best example I can give is the Passion of the Christ. I don't agree with everything Mel Gibson did with that film, but you can see when they scourged, that's when they placed Jesus on this upright post. And they bound his hands and they stretched. And they had this whip with that had shawls of glass and bones. And they would have him where he was tight. So when it stuck into the skin, it ripped. A lot of times, you could see ribs. Sometimes it would rip their stomach open and then their intestines would go all over the ground. He uses these strong words. He scourged every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what is sin who a father chasteneth not? But if ye without chastisement thereof. He said, if you're not without this chastisement and without the scourging when you messed up. And this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing these words. In Hebrews chapter 12, 6 through 8, it says, whereof all are partakers. If you're not a partaker of this, then you are a bastard and not a son. And of course, son and daughter, of course. This don't preach well today in modern Christianity. They want to take that word bastards and take all legitimate son and make it sound so they water it down. I feel sorry for their soul because as a preacher, as a teacher, we are held to a higher accountability and they will be held to a high accountability. If you're out with chastisement when you sin, you believe you can live your way any way you want, you are a bastard. If you don't feel the conviction, the chastisement and the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your life, you're not a son, you're not a daughter. I don't care what your preacher wants to tell you, your evangelist wants to tell you, you're letting them send you straight to hell. If you look at Galatians 5, it tells us we should walk more in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Unless in the works of the flesh, I encourage you to go look at Galatians 5. And this is all part of Romans 10, the popular verse. But you don't hear talking about righteousness. You don't hear them talking about holiness. Our life is supposed to be holy. God tells us, holy, holy, holy. Be holy. And when you look at Romans 10 and you go a little bit farther in verse 11, it said, for the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. I want to tell you this world, when you carry your Bible at school, at work, or daily stuff, when you pray before you eat at school, work, or any events, or just hanging out, you're going to stick like a sore thumb. What obsessed me is when I go to these Vince and that everybody has to bow their heads like we don't want to see somebody walk up front. I'm going to tell you, this is going to be the easy walk you do. The hard walk is when you walk out them doors and the devil said, I'm going to get you. You see, discipleship and salvation is not separate. There is a strong movement telling you they are, but they're not. They are together. We are disciples of Jesus. Christian means follower of Jesus. A follower is a disciple. You can't call yourself a Christian, not be a follower, not to be a disciple. I guess you can, but you're false. You see, as a disciple, we expect there's a cost. When we look at Luke 14, verse 26 through 28, it says this, if any man come to me that hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brother and sister, yea, his own life, also. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether have sufficient to finish it? Jesus is telling you, are you counting the cost to be my follower? You may have to lose everything that you believe might be important in this world. Luke 9:58 says this, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. You want to be homeless? You don't want to have a home? Jesus was homeless on this world. Now he's preparing us a home, our true home. We're just passing through here. We should not be comfortable. The comfortable Christians are the professing Christians, the lukewarm Christians. They are comfortable in this world, and they don't want to count the cost. They want to hide behind the doors and not speak the name of Jesus. They are ashamed. As we look in that popular Romans 10:9-11, we are not supposed to be ashamed. But when you hear that, when somebody preaches salvation off those texts, majority will not dive into the text as I did today. They will want to tell you something false. When you say I do to Jesus, there's a cost. You should be willing to pay that cost. Because I want to tell you today, the cost in following Jesus is worthy. And I was reading a saying, and I don't remember who had this. I don't remember the author of it, but it went like this. It's a lifetime carrying your cross, and that's cost, whatever it may be. That is the cost, whatever it may be, may look like. That is the pain, the suffering, the tears, the agony of this lifetime, as one is following Jesus. That's a lifetime. It's only one day in hell. And we know hell's everlasting damnation. It will not end. It is torture. Torture that will never end. It's everlasting damnation versus everlasting life. And that is the spiritual death is the everlasting death. That is everlasting torment. You see, our life is a vapor, guys. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. Tonight could be your last night. And then you'll be looking at Jesus. But one day everything will be over. This world will be over. And Jesus is coming back, which I believe is going to be sooner than we expect. And he has an inherent for us, his children. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, according as his divine power are given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to acknowledge him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are ye given us exceeding great precious promises, that by these he might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world through the lust. You see, we deserve hell. God says no. And this is, of course, why he sent Jesus Christ. God wants us not to go to hell. He gives us free will. We have inheritance. Matthew 6:19-21 says this, lay not yourself treasures on this earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth rust do corrupt and where thieves do not break through or through nor steal. You see, everything we do down here for Jesus Christ, Jesus sees it all. And our inheritances will be him saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place, guys. So many people will say, oh, heaven will be boring. I promise you, it will not be boring. Heaven will be so awesome. It will be so much fun. There will be so much joy. We can't even imagine. It's like that song, "By Mercy Me." We can only imagine. Revelations chapter 21 verse 4 says this: God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And my tears for this world is a lot. And for those that are lukewarm Christians, my tears flow. And pray that they're somehow God just rocks them to a point, because he ain't gonna force himself on no one, but he can definitely rock their boat. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past. See, we'll have no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And we will live for joy for the rest of eternity. To me, all the suffering in this life does not even compare to the wonderfulness and the awesomeness that God has for his children. So in closing tonight, guys, I want to... You've heard the salvation message. And I have salvation messages throughout my website. This is the real deal. This is the whole salvation message. Of course, I shortened some of it down. But if you hear this and you got questions, hit me on my website. Catch me on Facebook. My phone number's on here. It's time. Time is getting close. We need to realize what it means truly to mean to be a child of God. What it means to say I do to Christ. To recognize the crucifixion. To recognize the resurrection. And to truly open our hearts and believe that. And let the Holy Spirit enter and cause a transformation from new to old. I mean old to new. You are a new creature. And through that, you become a disciple. And you got the Holy Spirit guiding and directing your steps. Of course, find you a good Bible-believing church where there are a few out there. But in the last days, it will be hard to find a true Bible-believing church. And you let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you to a church and discipleship and becoming a follower of Jesus, and then you got that joy, and you got that peace, and you got that amen in your soul, and you're learning how to go out there and tell other people about Jesus, because we have to go out there and we have to witness to others before it's too late. Because one day it will be. And as a child of God, our inheritance is priceless. Don't let the devil tell you that heaven is going to be boring. Don't let the devil tell you it's going to not. He is the father of lies and all lies, right? He wants to destroy you as much as he can. Don't let him take that joy from you of your inheritance. Love you guys. Say a prayer and then you guys just hit me up on Facebook or my website. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to give the word. Lord, thank you for letting the Holy Spirit just guide and direct this message. Lord, I pray whoever hears this, that they recognize whoever they may be listening to out there. They're not preaching the full gospel. Only partial truths. Lord, let them realize that and seek others around them. Or seek churches around them that radiate or speak the same words that I spoke tonight, just through the word of God. the scripture by scripture. Lord, I pray those that are listening tonight, they write down the scriptures that we went over, and that they just look at them and they study themselves to realize, and they link other scriptures together, because to go over all the scriptures, we would be here all night. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just get us through the night. I pray, Lord, just get us through the week. Give us strength to endure this week and next week and the month and Lord, this year and the year coming. Lord, give us strength to stand when biblical truths are being ripped from us. Lord, pray that we will stand and say, that ain't correct. The Word of God is the final authority, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just guide us and you direct us in our path to be that light to this world. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.